Ever get the feeling you're being watched online? It's data brokers. They collect your personal info, your browsing habits, where you live, and who you're related to, and then sell it to the highest bidder. Aura helps stop that. Aura automatically removes your personal info from data broker sites and keeps it off. It also monitors the dark web, protects your devices, alerts you to real-time threats, and more. Start your free trial at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen for your free trial.
Kempire is brought to you by
Philadelphia, the Kempire After Dark, the villain era. It's coming to your city on July 10th. That is 2 weeks away. But this week only, until Sunday, there is a flash sale for premium tickets for $25 only. Don't miss our night of hot topics. We have a lot to talk about, from Real Housewives of Atlanta, Real Housewives of Miami, to The Diddler, and so much more. Don't forget, we are also coming to the City Winery in Atlanta on August 5th, and then we're in Union Stage on August 22nd in Washington, D.C. Then we're back in New York City at the Green Room 42. That show has not just the meet and greet, but we also have a live stream option. So even if you're attending these other shows or you're not in any of the cities, you have an option to be a part of the Kempire After Dark, the villain era live experience right now. Get your tickets today. More information is available in the description. But again, Philly, go get your tickets this week. Flash sale happening right now.
You're listening to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network.
It's day 29 of the Sean Diddy Combs trial, and he's confirming today to the judge that he has decided not to take the stand in his own defense. Yesterday, we reported to you that the defense had decided not to call any witnesses, and I had concerns about that, but we're hearing from our friend Kirsten Brown and her perspective on them not calling witnesses. We have to unpack day 29 exclusively here on the Kempire channel in the Diddy trial. Day 29, we've been following this case beyond 29 days, but when it comes to the actual trial, we've been following this case since the beginning. Part of it feels like it's been taking forever, but part of it feels like, wow, we're already towards the end. The prosecution is going to rest their case today. The defense will be doing everything that it can legally to try and get this case thrown out. I have a few clips that I need to play for you guys when it comes to different perspectives. I even have a text that I want to share with you from Kirsten Brown. Kirsten was here on a channel two times before. She is a Los Angeles prosecutor sharing her prosecutorial perspective and legal perspective on what's been playing out with this case. And so many of you have shared wonderful comments in regards to that collaboration. I look forward to bringing her back here sooner than later to unpack all of these things that are coming up in the last few days. Let me just first play for you. As you also know, we've been citing a few different journalists and content creators that have been inside the courtroom. And one of my favorites so far is Mona Kosar Abdi, who is ABC News journalist. She was, and now she works for Extra. She's been inside the courtroom. She's been doing a fabulous job covering this case on TikTok as well. I want to play a clip in regards to the charges, just to remind us. I think at this particular point, a lot of us are like, okay, what is he charged with again? I know they're trying to get him on RICO, but what are the elements that are going on here? And we talked a little bit about this yesterday and the possible sentencing that he's facing. Take a listen to what Mona had to say on her TikTok.
The Diddy trial is almost over. The government has reached the end of its case. So let's break down how they're trying to prove one of the most serious charges, RICO. To prove RICO, the government has to show three things. One, that there was a criminal enterprise. Two, that Diddy was a part of it. And three, that he committed at least two predicate acts to advance or protect it. First, they're accusing him of building a network of assistants, bodyguards, and staff to carry out illegal acts for him, which is why we heard from a number of his personal assistants. Now, there were no official ranks, but it seemed that the government was trying to prove that the assistants would get their instructions from KK, Christina Quorum, his chief of staff, and also his bodyguards would be the ones to handle any cash to pay for the drugs or the
Sidebar, again, we've already talked about this endlessly about Christina Quorum not testifying. I'm also shocked that none of the bodyguards that have been mentioned multiple times, like D-Rock, are not testifying either. And I'm pretty sure that the Southern District of New York probably had conversations with them or has been trying to reach out to them. I wouldn't be shocked that there is this whole street code of not snitching. So I wouldn't be shocked that they were like, I'm not agreeing to it. You have nothing on me.
courts. Now let's talk about the predicate acts, the crimes that hold this RICO charge together. And remember, the government only needs to prove that two of these occurred. First is sex trafficking, and the government had their star witness, Cassie, lay the groundwork, saying Diddy coerced her into these sex acts with male escorts while he watched to satisfy his sexual desires. Cassie testified that she was coerced to do these freak-offs through drugs, acts of violence, blackmail, and threats to her reputation or career. Then there was victim number two, Jane, who essentially said the same thing. She says that she was introduced to freak-offs through Diddy under the guise of a relationship, was coerced through drugs and financial manipulation. Jane testified that if she refused to do the freak-offs, Diddy would threaten to stop paying her rent and she would lose her housing. Another big thing that the government set out to prove was to show that the lines were often blurred between personal and business, with assistants setting up hotel rooms and booking travel for the male escorts. And there's bribery, and the government had Eddie Garcia, who was a security guard at the Intercontinental Hotel, testify. That's a hotel where Diddy is seen violently assaulting Cassie on surveillance video. And Eddie testified that the morning of the assault, he gets a call not only from Christina Quorum, but from Diddy himself, asking to get a copy of that tape. Eventually, Eddie Garcia testified that Diddy paid $100,000 for that copy. Then there's kidnapping, and that's where Diddy's former employee, Capricorn Clark, comes in. Capricorn Clark testified that while she was working for Diddy, she was accused of stealing jewelry and was taken by his employees to a dilapidated building on and off for 5 days, strapped to a lie detector test. She was told she'd be thrown into...
Sidebar, I think because we've been following this case for how many different weeks that people have forgotten some of the testimony from the very beginning, like Capricorn Clark...
the East River if she failed. And then again, a few years later, Capricorn said that Diddy showed up to her door with a gun, demanding that she get into the car so that they can confront Kid Cudi. Next is drug distribution. Several assistants said that they were tasked with purchasing, organizing, and carrying drugs for Diddy. Several witnesses testified to regular drug use, ecstasy, cocaine, ketamine, GHB. Importantly, Cassie and Jane said that they were given drugs, particularly ecstasy, so that they can engage in these freak-offs, with Cassie saying she eventually became dependent on them. Then we have forced labor. And that's where victim number four, Diddy's former assistant, who testified under the name Mia, comes in. Mia also testified working long hours for Diddy and staying up for days. She says she eventually moved into his home so she could be at his beck and call and was cut off from seeing family and friends and couldn't leave. She also said that she feared what would happen if she said no. Mia also testified that Diddy was violent and also sexually assaulted her. The government told the judge that they plan on wrapping up their case today. Then the defense said they need 2 days to present their case, so we could be hearing closing arguments as soon as the end of this week.
The other thing that Mona highlights in her caption that she didn't discuss in the video was the fact that she said, I forgot to add, quote, arson, and that was Kid Cudi's testimony. So that's another important element when it comes to these charges. So shout out to Mona. I will cite her in my description so that you guys can follow her on TikTok and all her other social medias. So I do also want to talk about what Inner City Press, we've been highlighting Inner City Press because they've been giving us different dialogue that's happening in the courtroom. They've covered so many different stories that we reported on over the years. He did this video not too long ago in the timing of recording this video, talking about what's happening in the courtroom. Let's take a listen.
Matthew Russell Lee, Inner City Press. It's not midday. It's nearly the end of day 29 of the U.S. versus Sean Combs case, June 24th. And what's happened today is there was an extremely longer than expected, let's put it that way. I don't want a cross-examination of the agent, Sir Cielo, by Ms. Garagos. I have to say it sort of petered out from my point of view. But then the Rule 29 motion by his lawyer, Alexander Shapiro. I've said before, I'm a fan. She's representing Sam Bankman-Fried. In any case, they pretty much laid out what will be their arguments at closing, attacking every count. And again, I've seen a lot of people say they turned away. Even some people thought it's uninteresting. I think it actually is. This is the beginning of the end here. Her take on it, and I have a few notes here. At least one of the statutes of she's saying it's unconstitutional. This is not going to cut.
Pay attention to this element because again, Diddy's team. Remember, he has a multi-million dollar legal team, multiple lawyers. They are trying everything. And a lot of what they're doing, if you saw my collaboration with Kirsten Brown, a lot of what they're doing is not necessarily for this trial. It's for the potential of their appeal in the future.
ICE, either with, I believe, Judge Subramanian or with the jury, it'll be raised on appeal. This has to do with intimidation and force. But she made arguments about forced labor, saying that this statute was basically enacted to enforce the 13th Amendment after slavery. It's used in cases of immigrant domestic workers forced to work because their passport is taken. She was pretty, I think you could say she was dismissive in the sense that she said, not dismissive, she said these are affluent individuals. The complaint is about not going on a yacht, not going on a trip to Turks and Caicos. She made a kind of a procedural point, which I'm not sure who's going to hear it, even on appeal. But she said it's significant that in three superseding indictments, they only ended up with this fraud theory as to Jane once it became clear to them that Jane was alleging violence in the house, that incident with the broken doors that are still broken. She also said that the escort in that case didn't, there was no showing that they came from out of state. These are the kind of like little landmines that are dropped that come up on appeal. The thing is that unless that's the only thing he were to be convicted on, even getting that one knocked off later, it would be interesting. I'm doing this in front of the now empty MCC jail.
So he's filming in front of the jail where Diddy is being detained.
Certainly it keeps people active if they're in jail for a long time to have some appeals going and to get a couple of wins, but there's five charges here. Now, I guess in what people would say is the most newsy element of the day, Judge Subramanian said, "Mr. Combs, do you understand how are you feeling today?" And he said, "I'm feeling fine. You're doing a great job, Judge."
Diddy always sucking up.
Maybe that he thinks it's going to get Subramanian to rule in different ways going forward. Anyway, he was certainly upbeat in that. Then he was asked whether it was his decision and his alone to not testify. He said, "Mine alone." Then he added, "But with my lawyers."
And remember, when we collaborated with Kirsten the first time around, she talked about the procedures of this and how this will play out. And it makes sense to me in regards, as soon as he was saying this, like, okay, so this is the procedural aspect, whether or not he has to have this conversation, Diddy has to have this conversation with the judge so that this is all procedural, that he has to say, "I understand that I can testify, but I have decided not to." And most of the time, individuals in the situation would not testify. However, remember, Diddy's own attorney says, "I don't know if I can keep him off the witness stand." But they probably have legally advised him, and especially how this case has gone, it does not help Diddy's case by going up there and direct examination, cross-examination is not worth it. And it's not worth, again, when we talk about the testimony of on the defense side, it's not worth it. Diddy is a terrible human being. There's no way that we can bring character witnesses up there that are going to be like, "Well, he's a great guy. He helped me." No one's going to believe that, especially when we have video footage of Diddy harming Cassie. And I think anyone with a logical brain would understand that wasn't one moment in time. That was something that he has done multiple times to multiple people, allegedly.
They've now taken a break for the defense case, which I think is going to be extremely short. It seems like it's just going to be getting some exhibits in. And then that's it. There'll be a charge conference tomorrow, Wednesday, and closing arguments on Thursday, which I think on the defense side, at least, are going to be largely what Alexander Shapiro said in a legalistic fashion, but made in a fashion tailored to the jury, more based on the facts than on the law. In any event, Inner City Press, we're all over it.
Thanks to Inner City Press. Make sure you guys are following them on social media and supporting them any way that you can, because you know what we do here. If you're new here, we cite our sources, okay? Speaking of citing my source, I want to bring up a text message, and I asked Kirsten if I could share this message because we've been having conversations about, and mind you, she is a prosecutor. She is busy. She has her own trial happening right now, but she has been so gracious enough to share her perspective and make time for us and our community here, and I know a lot of you are loving her perspectives. Well, she saw a little bit of our recap yesterday in regards to the defense not calling any witnesses. We also played audio from Sunny Hostin's conversation with the Views podcast Behind the Table. And Sunny Hostin, who is a former prosecutor, had a different perspective in regards to the defense not calling any witnesses, almost to the point where it feels as if the defense feels like they don't need to call any witnesses. So this is what Kirsten had to say in a text message to me. She says this. She says, "Your ChatGPT summary was accurate when we talked about the summation and that process." She says, "The charging conference held in open court, but outside the presence of the jury, will likely be given a day off, then come back for summation/argument. She says, "Defense strategy to not call any witnesses is smarter and helps their credibility with the jury. There's nothing to be gained with a series of what I'd call excuse witnesses. Experts talking about his drug use or mental state, it just went on for too many years to be talking about he didn't know better." Good point. I didn't even think about it that way. "And character witnesses are dumb." She says the prosecution asked that witness if they saw the Intercontinental Hotel video and if that changes your opinion. If the witness says no, they sound crazy. If they say yes, then your testimony is pointless. So she's letting us know why it benefits the defense not to call witnesses or experts. She says, in my opinion, defense should not feel confident they won, though. That's too strong. But there's arguments to be made, and they can potentially close really strong. I'm guessing they are very cautiously optimistic. Likewise, so can the prosecution. They can make it all make sense. Again, in my opinion, that's what happened in Trump's trial. Literally, no one believed Trump was innocent, but literally no one understood how the charges fit. And we were all confused. But strong closing arguments equals conviction. That could happen here. So here's the thing. And Kirsten explains this even more in part two of our conversation and regarding the closing arguments and how you're able to tie that together. She gives examples on how she has done that in the past. So that's actually really important. Again, if you're looking at our summaries of the Daily Diddy trial that's happening right now, it's easy to get lost in the minutiae of everything. But I use Kirsten's in our conversations as a reference to make sense of what we're talking about and what we're covering. Thank you to Kirsten Brown. Again, she will be here again, probably a lot sooner than later, especially if we're able to get access to the jury instructions, because that would be interesting to dissect, especially when we get to the verdict. So stay tuned for that. Let's get to today's summary. Shout out to our friends. And I thought I would really be utilizing multiple different sources and news outlets, and we have. But when it comes to our summaries, we really have relied on NBC News. They've done a really great job. And in addition to explaining some legal things that are happening and legal aspects that are happening within the court. So according to NBC News, in regards to the individuals testifying today, they said Joseph Cercilio, a special agent from Homeland Security Investigations, will continue testifying today. After Cecilia's testimony, the prosecution will rest its case. So he's their last witness. Yesterday, he testified that Combs appeared to have paid for sex worker named Cabral to stay at the Trump International Hotel and Tower in New York City in September of 2023 and take a flight from Atlanta to Newark, New Jersey. The testimony potentially underlines one of the U.S. government's charges against Combs, transportation to engage S workers. Okay. Combs' defense team said in court yesterday that it plans to rest its case without calling any witnesses, but will submit some evidence and stipulate several issues. A charging conference is expected tomorrow, and summations are scheduled Thursday. Defense lawyer Tenney Garrigo said it expected that each side will take about 4 hours to make closing arguments to jurors. Yesterday, jurors were shown text messages between Combs' ex-girlfriend, Jane. In December of 2021, Jane reached out to S worker Cabral and appeared to initiate a freak-off. A November 2021 text said that she couldn't wait to hook up with my favorite person, in quotes. AKA Combs and jurors were shown explicit video footage of Jane having sex in November of 2021. Previously, NBC had identified Cabral as the spelling was different, but now they've corrected it. Text messages between Combs and a male S worker agency were also shown. We talked about that yesterday. And Diddy is cheap in every possible way, including when he's doing his freak offs. He was trying to get a discount. In a one exchange, he argued that he deserved a cut rate as a longtime client.
Hell no.
The jury was also shown text messages between Combs and his chief of staff, Christina Curram, in which she planned his hotel stays and texts that he had plan B in his nightstand. The text appeared to try to prove that he repeatedly facilitated his ex-girlfriend to have sex with S workers. Sometimes she appeared to be into it, and other times she lashed out, frustrated, saying that she didn't want to anymore. So that's a recap of yesterday. So yesterday, jurors, as you know, put on headsets to watch what appeared to be explicit videos of freak-offs featuring Combs' former girlfriend, who has been identified in court as Jane. Combs, wearing a white sweater and glasses, looked around the courtroom as the video played, seemingly avoiding looking at the graphic recordings on the monitor before him. Combs' mother, Janice Combs, appeared to focus her gaze on the jury box. So Combs entered the court this morning wearing an orange sweater. He sat down at the defense table and shuffled through papers in a folder. He leaned his head back with what looked like a sigh. So this is day 29 of the Combs trial, guys. If you're just joining us, don't forget to like the video. It's an easy and free way of supporting not just my channel, but other channels that are covering this case as well, along with a bunch of other things, because we don't just talk about Diddy here or pop culture news. We talk about everything in pop culture, including some of your favorite reality shows. We even posted a Real Housewives of Atlanta update, a story that happened earlier today. So be sure to check that out and be sure to listen to your Diddy trial updates and other episodes on the Kempire podcast. While you're there, don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. Thank you to those of you that have. We've seen an uptick in our ratings there. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Also, thank you to those of you that donated to our Pride Month fundraiser. We've reached over $4,000. We still have 6 days left. So we've now upped it to $4,500. But you know, my real goal has always been 5,000. So we are so close to hitting that goal. So if you haven't already, please, somewhere along here, you're able to donate to the Pride fundraiser. And I think this will be our biggest year yet. So thank you to everyone that's donated or will donate. We appreciate you. The court started with both sides debating evidence. So this is the logistical side of court. This is not the sexy side. This is the logistical. But this could be what will save Sean Diddy Combs. The prosecution objected to a message that Combs' ex-girlfriend, Cassie Ventura, sent saying that she wanted to have sex with him. The defense argued that the text was the day before a freak-off, an attempt to show that Combs' ex-girlfriends willingly engaged in freak-offs. The prosecution argued that she wanted sex with her boyfriend, not other men. The judge sustained the prosecution's objection, saying that the message was about a one-on-one encounter. The judge overruled a government objection to including a text Ventura sent saying that she wanted baby oil. The judge noted that it's difficult to tell whether this message was referring to a one-on-one encounter unrelated to a hotel night. This is probably also a very new case for the judge to be covering. Like, what are we talking about here? The judge also allowed in a text where Ventura said that she had taken Adderall and referred to a freak-off night as pretty hot. Submarinian, I think that's how the pronunciation. Look, it took us 29 days to get here, but it's super. That's how Inner City Press pronounced it. Submarinian. That makes more sense. Submarinian. Also overruled a government objection to a text where Ventura was asked if she could do a freak-off without getting high, to which she replied she could. The special agent from Homeland Security Investigations, Joseph Cerullo, returned to the stand under cross-examination by defense lawyer Tenny Garagos. I'm hearing good things. Remember, Tenny is the daughter of Mark Garagos, who is a legendary in the legal field, but also legendary in helping a lot of problematic celebrities over the years. Defense attorney Tenny Garagos has been concentrating on a series of text messages showing how at times Combs' then-girlfriend Jane played an active role in setting up and enjoying their rendezvous with S-workers. Jane wrote to an S-worker in December of 2021, joyously saying a previous night's hookup was one for the books. Later that month, Jane told the worker that she was, quote, excited to see him, while the man said that he was down for that. U.S. District Judge called for a 15-minute break until 11:15 a.m.
Lowe's knows how to set off your July 4th with savings. Right now, buy one, get one free on select one-coat coverage interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Plus, get two select 2 or 2.5-quart red, white, and blue annuals for just $10. Hurry, these July 4th deals won't last long. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, excludes Alaska and Hawaii. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for more details.
Eastern, the defense had been examining years of text messages between Jane and Combs, showing that the former girlfriend had the freedom to travel and set her own activities. So they get back into session and the Homeland Security agent is still on the stand. At times, her life was a delicate balance between her passion for Combs and her responsibilities as a single mom in regards to Jane. They said in a series of August 13, 2023 texts to Combs, Jane graphically discuss sex in the same breath as her back-to-school shopping list for her son. Jane called that her, quote, mommy mode. Jane and Combs spoke about getting an NDA in August of 2023 for a male S worker for a night in Las Vegas. Jane texts Combs asking if one of his guys could print a non-disclosure agreement. Can you imagine the amount of non-disclosure agreements Diddy has? At one particular point, before we even started covering this trial, before the trial even started, we examined one of the NDAs that were discovered during the whole drama with Diddy. So it makes me wonder, like, how many and where are these NDAs kept? Jane texts Combs asking if one of the guys could print a non-disclosure agreement. He doesn't know anyone we know, so I'll have him sign the paper, Jane said. So they said the panel was shown video footage of Jane and an S worker, Paul, in a freak-off session from July 31st to August 1st, 2024. So this was very recent. Initially, it appeared that three jurors had defective headsets, but it was quickly diagnosed that they had just failed to turn them on properly. They watched two clips, about 6 minutes of freak-off footage. This is, what, the third day that they've seen freak-off footage? Combs was initially following along and wearing headphones before the screens at the attorney table were turned off. The defense wants to show any act that suggests Jane had free will and could have left Combs at any moment. A video of a freak-off was to be played in court, but shortly after, defense attorney Tenny Garrigo said the deputy played the wrong video that was in evidence. The correct video was then played. The defense ended its cross-examination of HSI Special Agent Cecilio, turning the witness over for redirect by the government. Cecilio was a conduit for both sides to get several videos and text messages into evidence. The prosecution rested its case against Combs at 1:30 p.m. today, wrapping up 6 weeks of testimony. Although I don't feel like, based off of the testimony that we've been covering and talking about every single day, landed strong for me, it's important for us to know, and I know a lot of you probably feel the same way, it's important for us to know, if you're not in the courtroom and you're not seeing and hearing everything, and again, like Kirsten said, there are certain legal terms and things that are said in court specifically might go over our heads. And we're sort of like, did they prove their case here? Was this a strong case? Based on the conversations that I had with different lawyers, they have said both the defense and the prosecution have done a really good job with this. Could they have each done a better job? I'm sure. So the jury heard from 34 witnesses, most prominently Combs' ex-girlfriend, singer Cassie Ventura. She accused Combs of physical abuse control and having her participate in drug-fueled sexual encounters with male S-workers. The pregnant Ventura testified for 4 grueling days that she didn't want to engage in freak-offs, but just didn't feel like I had much of a choice. I do think that Cassie's testimony was far stronger than Jane's, unfortunately, because when we think about not even just the age difference here, we think about she worked for Diddy. Diddy had her literally in a binding contract, a 10-album deal, and he literally never released another album after her debut album. And if you're an artist that dreamed of having a major deal, being associated with Diddy, and thinking that he could catapult your music career, and he's telling you and manipulating and convincing you that, yeah, we're going to get your album out. We're going to get your album out. And to make it, and remember, when we first talked about the Cassie lawsuit, she talked about not even seeing Diddy in that way. It was after his pursuit of her that eventually she sort of fell for him. Rapper Scott Mascuddy, known professionally as Kid Cudi, testified about his relationship with Ventura and the abusive nature of her relationship with Combs. Other key witnesses included a former personal assistant to Combs, who went by the pseudonym Mia, and Jane, another former girlfriend of Combs. Mia accused Combs of SAing her on multiple occasions and said she witnessed Combs lashing out violently against Ventura. Mia also described cleaning up after the couple's hotel nights. Jane testified to participating in hotel nights, sleeping with S workers to please Combs. His constant need for sex for entertainment left her, quote, sore, tired, exhausted, and overwhelmed, Jane said. Cassie similarly said the same thing. She even said that at one particular point, antibiotics stopped working for her. She had yeast infections, UTIs. She had other sores in her mouth. I'm reminding you some of what you may have forgotten from this case. So the judge sends the jury for lunch. We can skip over that. The defense moves for Rule 29, judgment of acquittal. We've been using our friends over at ChatGPT to give us an explanation, but I'm sure NBC is going to give us a nice one here too. So let's read what they say, and then let's get into what ChatGPT will say for us. Okay, so according to NBC News, it says after the prosecution rested, the defense moved for a Rule 29 motion for a judgment of acquittal on counts 1 through 5. So all the charges. Defense attorney Alexandra Shapiro argued that the prosecution failed to prove at least 3 elements of the RICO racketeering charge. Failed to show he violated RICO, that he agreed to participate, and insufficient evidence of a conspiracy. She argued that there wasn't an enterprise. In this case, it was simply Combs engaging in sex acts and his personal time with his girlfriends. Remember, a former prosecutor, Sunny Hostin from The View, said that she doesn't feel like they proved RICO either. So, Alexandra Shapiro continues. She said, the prosecution has argued that bodyguards and high-ranking employees were involved in facilitating his freak-offs and hotel nights. But the prosecution, quote, failed to prove any individual actually conspired with him. They did errands and made travel arrangements, but they did not have anything to do with what went on with Combs and his girlfriends in the hotel room, other than they used baby oil, Astroglide, and drank alcohol and maybe did drugs, Shapiro said. She argued that Combs took steps to conceal the true nature of those hotel nights from his staff. Shapiro said that text message evidence showed Combs sought to conceal the S workers from his employees, noting in one piece of evidence, he says, I can't let KK know about the FO. Shapiro, mind you, we also have evidence where we see, I believe it was Brendan Paul's testimony, where they clearly knew it was a hotel night. They clearly knew what was going on. But also, if they're cleaning up after your hotel nights, what do they think you're doing in the room? And I'm sure they're also cleaning up condoms and bodily fluids. But okay. She argued that Combs took steps to conceal the true nature of those hotel nights. In a text message exchange where he says, I can't let KK know about the FO. Shapiro said that when Combs' chief of staff, Christina Karam, and security guards learned of his violence against Cassie Ventura, they tried to help her. Shapiro argued that there's no evidence that Karam thought that Combs' girlfriends were being coerced. Do you think that the prosecution should have maybe charged Christina Karam and that would have helped? And this is a question for Kirsten. Kirsten, I know you watch this. Feel free to text me your response. Do you think if they charged her, it would have helped that whole enterprise, that element of enterprise, if he did have someone else that was being accused here? But I guess that would also be hard to prove. Because even based off of the information that we have, they were assisting in their positions in helping this, but at the same time, we don't have them necessarily doing anything on the same level as Diddy. Like a Jazlyn Maxwell, when you look at that story, she had a more active role in what was happening with that. Let me just read to you what ChatGPT tells me in regards to the Rule 29. So in simple terms, they explain Rule 29 of the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure allows a judge to throw out the case even before the jury makes a decision. So they're trying everything to defense. So they want to have this Rule 29. If the prosecution hasn't proven their case. So they say this. This is, what is a Rule 29 judgment of acquittal? In a federal trial like Diddy's, after the prosecution finishes presenting all of his evidence, the defense can say to the judge, Your Honor, the government didn't prove their case. There's not enough evidence for any reasonable jury to convict. We ask that you throw it out. As I said before, this is called the Rule 29 motion for judgment of acquittal. The judge then can either grant it or deny it. Grant it, and the case is over right then and there. The defendant is acquitted, found not guilty, and the jury never even gets to decide. I mean, if this is in their right, they brought up some valid points, deny it. And then the case continues, usually going to the defense turn or straight to the jury. They said, think of it like this. If the prosecution's case is so weak that even if the jury believed everything they said, it still wouldn't be enough to convict, the judge can step in and stop the trial. So remember, we talked about this with Kirsten as well. She talked about this. In a legal protection to make sure someone isn't wrongfully convicted just because a trial is happening, judges don't use this often, but when they do, it sends a clear message. The evidence just wasn't there. You can already probably assume what the decision was, right? Probably. So the defense attorney, Alexandra Shapira, continued to attempt to dismantle the prosecution's claims that Combs participated in racketeering acts. She said that the trial failed to show evidence that Combs tried to bribe anyone surrounding the March 2016 hotel attack between himself and Cassie Ventura. She said that there was no police involvement. Ventura didn't want police involved and no charges were pressed. Eddie Garcia, who worked as a security supervisor at the Los Angeles hotel where Combs was filmed attacking Ventura, testified that he received $100,000 for himself and two other employees for keeping the video under wraps. Shapiro noted that he signed an NDA that permitted him to report to law enforcement, so he could have still reported this. Shapiro argued that Combs didn't threaten Mia or his other staffers. Mia testified that one of Combs' security guards, D-Rock, offered to send her something, which she interpreted as money after Ventura's lawsuit was filed. Shapiro said that there's no federal nexus under the RICO charge because there has to be proof a victim turned to federal officials or proof of a federal investigation. She also argued that Combs didn't threaten anyone. Shapiro noted how Jane texts Combs after Ventura's lawsuit, and Combs did not send any, quote, corrupt persuasion or threats. Combs asked her what he could do to make her feel better and asked for her support. There's also no evidence that Combs used threats or harm to procure the labor of Capricorn Clark, his former assistant, Mia, a former assistant, Ventura, former girlfriend, or Jane, another former girlfriend, Shapiro said. Under the Forced Labor Racketeering Act, someone's services must be procured through force, physical restraint, or threat of serious harm. I have to give it to defense. This is a very strong argument. But is it strong enough? While some of the Combs staffers described him as abusive and working under grueling conditions with little sleep, or no sleep, I'll add, they all could have left, Shapiro said. In reality, most were in fear of losing their jobs, she said. Yes, they all could have left. Prosecutor Christy Slavik, and we've talked about this too, guys. I want to emphasize this because if you haven't watched all of our Diddy trial updates, chapters and verse, I explained to you what it meant to work for a Diddy during that time. I explained to you why some people will stay. I explained to you why some people stay, even employees in a cycle of abuse. I even remind you that some of you are probably being abused by your employer and you stick around because you need the paycheck or you want the opportunity. I'm not saying that it's right. I'm also not saying that I'm judging you or anyone else for staying in a situation like that, especially in this economy. I know there are a lot of people staying in positions that they probably wouldn't want anyone else to stay in, very much like with this Diddy trial and some of his victims. Prosecutor Christy Slavik said the government believes the record at the trial is favorable to the government's case and can be presented to the jury. She asked the court to decline the defense's Rule 29 motion. In asking for the Rule 29 motion, defense attorney Alexandra Shapiro argued there's insufficient evidence of kidnapping and racketeering in regards to Capricorn Clark's claim she was forced to take a lie detector test for days at a building in Manhattan after some of Combs' jewelry went missing. And I speculated that I'm willing to bet money the jewelry didn't go missing, and this was just his way of manipulating, controlling, and showing his power and influence, and also showing if she's going to stick around for this. Because, again, the argument from the defense, she could have quit, but she ended up not quitting. Shapiro said that the claim doesn't satisfy requirements under New York law and that there's no evidence Combs knew that happened. And Clark did it to prove her innocence. Cassie Ventura testified that she was held at the London Hotel for several days after she was injured, but the government failed to prove she was detained through reasonable fear, Shapiro argued. Also in regards to Ventura, Shapiro said that DV is not S trafficking and that there's insufficient evidence to show Combs used coercion to force her to commit sex acts. The defense argued that Ventura participated in hotel nights to make Combs happy. The judge asked Combs how he was feeling. This is reminding you that this is procedural. And Combs responded, "I'm doing great. Thank you, Your Honor." And adding, "You're doing an excellent job." So if Diddy says that he's doing an excellent job, because some of you that are free Diddy advocates have said the judge has done a terrible job. Diddy is saying that, "I think you're doing an excellent job." Is he just saying that because he's a manipulative liar and abuser? Probably. When asked, "Is it your decision not to testify?" Combs responded, "We have discussed it thoroughly. That is my decision. That is totally my decision. My decision. I am making it." So this is, again, procedural. They have to go through this process. We learned that from Kirsten because he has a right to defend himself. He has a right to take the stand in his own defense. So Assistant U.S. Attorney Christy Slavik urged the judge to reject the defense's request for Combs to be declared not guilty from the bench. Can you imagine if they did, though? That would be breaking news. The government believes that the record at trial is favorable to the government and more than establishes the case can be presented to the jury, she said. The judge said that he reserved any decisions as the jury returned to the courtroom. The defense entered into evidence a series of text messages that they argued could show how Combs and his girlfriends were in loving, consensual relationships. Some of the electronic messages appeared sweet and tender, while others were graphic and explicit, describing sexual acts. In a 2017 message, Cassie Ventura told Combs, "You are my best friend," and said that there is no one she loves more than him. The prosecution stipulated to the authenticity of these messages. The defense rested this afternoon, and prosecutors told the court they offer no rebuttal case. The judge told the jury to return to court before 9 a.m. on Thursday for closing arguments. So that makes sense. This is what we just talked about, where they will get a day off in between any of this. Well, that's good news for us to get a little bit of a break. I will say this. If I was following this case and I was younger, not to say because there are plenty of people going to law school in their 40s, 50s. And shout out to you guys. I think if I was following this case back when, I think I probably really would have considered going to law school. Shout out to all the attorneys and shout out to those of you that are considering it. A case like this makes me like on both sides from the defense perspective, because this is also very challenging to them. This is a new type of case for them. For some of them, no, because some of them have done RICO cases before. But it's very interesting procedurally. How they're defending this case and how the prosecution has to counter some of what they're doing. It will be very interesting to see the jury's directions and instructions. It will be also interesting to see the final verdict here. I'm also interested to see what the judge decides. Maybe it won't even go into deliberation. We shall see. Guys, as always, don't forget to like this video. It's an easy and free way of supporting not just my channel, but other channels as well. And also, don't forget, I will be talking about Diddy. When I come to Philly on July 10th at City Winery, I will be talking about Diddy, and I'll be talking about Real Housewives, and I'll be talking about everything in between, and you will be as well, dropping tea. We just never know what Philly's going to bring. Philly, though, this week only, you have $25 tickets. It's a summer flash sale. Go get your tickets. If you've been waiting to get your tickets, this will be the week to get them. Go get your tickets. Meet and greets are available. And then I'm coming to Atlanta August 5th, DC August 22nd, and back here in New York City on September 12th. Meet and greets are available for all of the shows. New York City has a live stream option. So even if you're coming to the other shows, or maybe you live abroad, or maybe you live in another city that we're not coming to, this is your opportunity to see the Kempire After Dark, the Villain Era live experience. It's a night of fun, funny conversation, tea being spilled. So for those that don't understand what you're going to experience, it's a little bit of what you get here, but a lot more, because we don't have cameras or guidelines. I can say all the things, and we will, and you will. Guys, don't forget you can hear our Diddy trial updates along with a lot of other things on the Kempire podcast. Subscribe today, and don't forget to give us a 5-star review, because those actually matter. I appreciate the super chats, the Venmos, the things that you guys send to help keep the lights on. We appreciate that. But giving us a review, telling a friend to tell a friend about, have you checked out Kempire? Because a lot of y'all probably keeping me to yourself, not realizing you're keeping me to yourself. But sharing is caring. And one of my favorite compliments is like, oh, I got my sister onto you, or my mom, or my husband, blah, blah, blah. And shout out to the new fellas that are following the channel, because I know the fellas are very prone into this case. So if you're a heterosexual fella, happy Pride Month. Ooh, happy Pride Month. However, if you're a heterosexual man, let me know in the comment section or the live chat. We want to see you join the community. It's welcoming. And if you're single, we got some single ladies here too. This is why I tell y'all need some gay friends, because us gay men have some of the baddest women friends, and y'all are missing out. As long as you're not a Diddy supporter. Here's the thing, and I know a lot of you say that you love my unbiased review of this case. When I say that about as long as you're not a Diddy supporter, because if you're a Diddy supporter, we're not talking about the charges here. We are talking about someone that's been abusive to women. And if you support Diddy, I don't need you coming into our community abusing our women. Get away from me, Apollo, with that. All right. I've digressed, which is fine. Which is fine. Guys, as always, be sure to like the video. Be sure to share the video. Be sure to listen to our Diddy trial updates and everything else on the Kempire podcast. And thank you again for following us with this case. We still have a few, maybe a week or two more when it comes to the Diddy trial. Thanks for watching and for listening.
Thanks for tuning in to Kempire here on the Kempire Radio Network. As always, you can hear Kempire on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. More information can be found on KempireRadio.com.
Ever get the feeling you're being watched online? It's Data Brokers. They collect your personal info, your browsing habits, where you live, and who you're related to, and then sell it to the highest bidder. Aura helps stop that. Aura automatically removes your personal info from data broker sites and keeps it off. It also monitors the dark web, protects your devices, alerts you to real-time threats, and more. Start your free trial at aura.com/listen. That's aura.com/listen for your free trial.